afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a great day. Well, if you listen often enough, you know this about me, that I love to watch football. In fact, if my husband is out of town, I'll actually watch a football game all by myself. But you also know that I care deeply about the human condition, about health, about God's desire to see us flourish in mind and body and spirit. Well, one particular night when Kev was out of town, I stumbled across the film Concussion. Will Smith played the starring role, and he did this amazing job, by the way. He was just gripping in that he played the role of a doctor, Dr. Bennett Omalu. This film was based on a true story about Dr. Bennett, who discovered a connection between head injuries and cognitive dysfunction, specifically among professional football players. I was so riveted by the movie, I turned around and I watched it a second time. And this doctor's research, true story, was so conclusive that he was at first shunned by the people who did not want to hear what he had to say. Well, my guest today is Dr. Bennett Omalu, and he joins me to talk about his book, Truth Doesn't Have Aside, my alarming discovery about the danger of contact sports. I know we're going to step on toes, but as he said in his title, truth does not have a side. And I just felt a deep conviction that we cover his story and this content. And so we've got three copies of this hardcover book, amazing book. Email if you want in on the drawing. You could put just truth in the subject line. I'll know this is the book you're vying for. Susie@myfaithradio.com. And don't forget that mailing address. If you've got a question for Dr. Omalu, you can include that in your email if you'd like, and I'll do my best to weave it into our conversation. A couple of quick announcements. First, I want to say thank you to all you who partnered with us for our fall share last week. We are so grateful. We are excited. We are working hard and dreaming big and praying hard and excited about what God might do in the days ahead. Also, just want to say that, we are growing, and we've got new signals, new FM signals in some of our markets. I want to give a shout out if you're listening brand new to the Faith Radio family, maybe on 94.1 FM in Hartford, or 93.1 FM in Waterloo, maybe 104.7 in FM in Madison, or one of the two FM signals in the Twin Cities, 90.7, 97.5, or maybe you're streaming online. If you're brand new to the Faith Radio family, we want to hear about it. So email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Say you're a new listener. Tell me where you're listening from. Allow us to have that mailing address, because I can't mail books without a mailing address. We'll draw a couple of names, and just as our way of saying thanks and welcome to the family. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Bennett Omalu is a Nigerian-American physician, forensic pathologist, neuropathologist, who was the first to publish findings of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE is what it's known by, in American football players. He's the chief medical examiner of San Joaquin Valley in California and a clinical professor at University of California, Davis. Will Smith plays him in a major motion picture, Concussion. It's a movie you're going to need to see. Dr. Omalu, honored to have you on the show with us. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. God bless you.
And you as well, sir. And we love to start our day talking scripture, and you chose two great passages. The first one, Romans 8:28, and a couple of the verses added on. We know that all things work together for the good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And then further you write, our scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Talk about that passage, if you would.
Well, you know, if you listen to my story, I discovered faith through science. I practice my faith in my science, and my science in my faith, because the two are one. Science seeks the truth. Faith seeks the truth. So it was by my faith that I actually discovered CTE when I did an autopsy on Mike Webster, not by science, because going by science, I had no reason to do his autopsy. We knew why he died. Going by science, when I opened up his skull, his brain appeared normal. But it was by faith that I went further, because I saw myself in Mike Webster. We all are members of one another. We all share that common spirit of God in all of us that binds us together as one body, one spirit, one hope. So it was by faith that I reported my findings in Mike Webster. But what happened after that was that many of us do not want to hear the truth or to deal with the truth, because the truth could be inconvenient, could be painful, and sometimes difficult. So in denial of that truth, I was attacked. I was vilified. I was ostracized. I was marginalized and called all types of names. But I did not fear, because we, as people of God, should not be afraid.
Wow.
We should always remain still, stand still, and know that He is God.
Amen.
Do not be afraid. And I realized that through my faith, I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I profess Him as being preeminent in all things, being far above all things, every principality, every power, and every ruler of this present age. All things were made in Him, through Him, for Him, and by Him. And so in revealing that truth, in professing that truth for the good of all us all, to vindicate my fellow brothers who were suffering in silence from this disease after retirement, I stood emboldened in my faith, knowing that God is above all things, and come what may, it shall be well with me.
Wow. I mean, I know you don't like to be called a hero, but you really have some amazing courage and grit. And for those who don't know the Mike Webster story, a professional NFL football player, explain how he died. And then you said in your conviction, because you saw in the autopsy at first glance, his brain looked fairly normal until you did some deeper study. So first explain how he died, and then explain and describe what you found as you felt convicted to dig a little deeper with his story.
Well, you know, I grew up in Nigeria. I came to the United States when I was 26. So I did not know so much about football. But that morning, Saturday, it was, a day in September of 2002, I was working as a junior pathologist in the Pittsburgh office, in the Pittsburgh Medical Examiner's office in Pennsylvania. So I woke up that morning, I turned on the television to listen to the news, and rather than talking about things happening across the world, almost every television channel was talking about this great football player. His name was Mike Webster. But rather than talking about him in uplifting terms, they were talking about him in very derogatory manners. You know, very dismissive of him, that he was like many other retired football players who did not do well after retirement, did not manage his money, became broke and homeless. But I paid closer attention, because I was offended that human beings should be talking about a dead person in such a manner. I paid closer attention. I realized he played this game, football, wearing a helmet for 17 years. And in those 17 years, he must have received hundreds of thousands of blows to his head. Could he have been suffering from the disease we saw in boxers, dementia pugilistica? But I thought quickly, in medical school, I never heard of dementia footballitica. All we knew was that boxers, after a while, could suffer some dementia. But hey, I had to go to work, so I dismissed it. I said, well, poor guy, life is unfair. I sped off to work. I got to work. In the fullness of time, the truth will prevail, as God will have it. Guess who was lying on my autopsy table? Mike Webster. So when I saw his body, you know, as Christians and as a pathologist, I don't see it as, I don't see death as an end unto itself. No. Death is simply a transition.
That's right.
And that the spirit lives, because He is the God of Abraham, God of Jacob, God of Isaac. He is not the God of the dead. And so my patients, although in the physical form they are dead, but their spirits are alive, the spirit of God that lives in them. So I speak to my patients. I speak to their spirits. And I said to Mike, I called him by name, I'm Bennett, that Mike, I don't think you are a bad person. I think something is wrong here. I think you're suffering from a disease. I don't know what disease it is, but please guide me in every humility. Lead me to the truth. I would use all my knowledge and education to get to the bottom of this, the truth. God is truth. So I had no reason to do his autopsy. We knew why he died. He had a massive heart attack. But I saw myself in him. I celebrated our common humanity, that one love. Because I did not see him as a 50-year-old white male. I saw him as my brother. So I treated him as I would treat my own brother. I did his autopsy with every dignity. I opened up his skull. I was expecting his skull to look shriveled and mangled and diseased, you know, a bad-looking brain. But when I opened up his skull, his brain looked normal. I was extremely disappointed. But I did not give up hope. I did not despair. I simply saved the brain in a chemical so that I could spend some more time with it. I went to my boss. I sought his permission to examine the brain. He said, Bennett, we know why this individual died. Why do you want to spend money to examine this brain? I said to him, well, I made a promise to him. I was going to get to the bottom of this. He said, well, you could examine it as long as you pay for the analysis with your own money, because the office cannot afford to be examining brains without any justification. I said to him, thank you. So at least he allowed me to examine the brain.
Let's pause so, here, Dr. Malu.
At that moment, it became almost like a sacrificial love offering to me. I spent my own money. I spent my own time. At some point, I took the sections of the brain home. I spent 6 months with that brain. And I saw changes in his brain. I did not know what they were. In those days, I was struggling with depression and low self-esteem. So I thought my depression was getting worse. I was becoming delusional. So I took it to other doctors to confirm that I was not being delusional.
Let's pause here, Dr. Malu. We have to take a break. So I want to, when we come back, we'll take the story from here. Dr. Malu takes these slices and what he sees to other doctors to see what they're going to say. And what he finds, what he discovers, is quite amazing. Again, the title of the book is Truth Doesn't Have a Side. If you've not seen Will Smith play Dr. Malu in the movie Concussion, you're going to want to see it. Subtitle is My Alarming Discovery About the Dangers of Contact Sports. Again, if you've got questions, include those on your email, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put truth in the subject line if you want in on the drawing for this book. Remember the mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dr. Bennett Omalu. You may recognize that name if you saw the film Concussion, and Will Smith played his character. If not, I highly, highly recommend it. Dr. Omalu's book is titled Truth Doesn't Have a Side, My Alarming Discovery About the Danger of Contact Sports. We've got three copies. This gripping book, email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And before the break, Dr. Malu talks about as a 20-something pathologist in Pittsburgh, he didn't have much experience coming from Nigeria to the States with football, but he saw on the news one report after the other of this Mike Webster, famous football player who had died, but everybody was sort of bashing him because of his odd behavior after he had retired from football. Well, it just so happened Dr. Malu gets to work and realizes he's performing the autopsy on Mike Webster. When he sees his brain, he's expecting to see mush, because he'd been jarred so many times over his football career. At first glance, it looked normal. But then, Dr. Malu, you were given permission, if you pay for your own money to do extensive testing, to take a little deeper look. But you're walking through depression at a time, so you're wondering, am I seeing what I'm seeing? At this point, you take these, what your findings to other doctors. Take the story from there.
Yes. So I showed it to, showed his slides to two other doctors who were much more experienced and very senior to me. And they confirmed that, yes, what I was seeing was real and that it had never been described before.
And what were you seeing exactly in layman's terms?
I was seeing abnormal accumulations of bad-looking proteins. In his brain, there were pretty much strangling his brain cells and killing his brain cells. They were strangling the fibers of his brain. So he'd lost so many of his brain cells, and even those that were still in his brain were not communicating with one another well. That was what led to his symptoms, major depression, drug addiction, inability to think, inability to remember things, and all other symptoms. So I did not really understand what I was seeing in those days. So what I did was I went back to the library to search, because I couldn't believe I was the first to see this. I did not want to believe it, because I was a foreigner. I was a total buffoon of football. I was totally ignorant of football. I did not even know what the NFL stood for. I did not know what a quarterback was. So I spent time in the library. I even researched as far back as Hippocrates, 400 BC. Hippocrates, by the way, was the first to identify concussions. He called concussions commotio cerebri. All I could see in the literature was dementia pugilistica, the dementia of boxers. I did not see dementia footballitica. So the senior doctor said to me that, look, Bennett, we must publish this. We need to educate the scientific community, and we need to, you know, highlight this problem, because we believed other football players were suffering from it too. So I had to give it a name, but I couldn't give it any name I wanted, like Mike Webster's disease or even dementia footballitica. I had to give it a name that would satisfy the legal standard called the Daubert standard. And what does that mean? The Daubert standard states that for any medical evidence to be used in a court of law, it needs to have precedence, and it needs to fall within the generally accepted principles of medicine. Because I knew that this was an occupational disease, and it was all a matter of time it would end up in the court of law. I had also to give it a name that sounded intellectually sophisticated, but yet had a good acronym. And also a name that was generic, but yet specific, because somebody could have proven me wrong down the road. So if somebody proved my concepts wrong, I would have some wiggle room to exit and say, oh, after all, it's a generic name. It doesn't mean anything. So I identified about 37 names, and chronic traumatic encephalopathy wasn't too difficult for me to select as one of the numerous names in the literature. There was one I saw, post-traumatic encephalitis, okay, post-concussion neurosis, traumatic neurosis. There were so many of them, but chronic traumatic encephalopathy I thought sounded very intellectually sophisticated and had a very good acronym. So I was very excited. I thought this was something good. This was the truth. The truth is very enlightening. It's very empowering. So I published my findings, rejoicing that this would enhance that common humanity we all share together. Because being one family, one hope, one spirit, bound together by the bond of peace of God, whatever happens to the least of us, even one of us, happens to all of us. Just like the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd had 100, one got missing, he kept the 99 together in search of one. So I believed if football players were suffering in silence, that we all were suffering in silence. So I had to do what I had to do. I started traveling around the country, spending my own money, to meet football players and their families. And I began confirming that every retired football player had the same symptoms. But what happened after that was very difficult for me. You know, my fellow doctors denied my work. I was ostracized. I was marginalized. I was labeled dangerous. I was called all types of names. In fact, some even suggested I was a voodoo doctor from Africa. But, you know, like Romans chapter 8, verse 28, all things work out for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. It was not about me. It was about the celebration of who we are as the sons and daughters of a mighty God. God is the truth, and the truth must prevail.
Your title, Truth Doesn't Have a Side, is really so, so important. We've got about a minute and a half before the break, so we'll have to pick this up on the other side. But when you, even in the movie, you meet with family after family, and you're discovering all these people who are suffering in silence with self-harm, self-hatred, depression, anxiety, headaches, memory loss, and suddenly you have overwhelming evidence and consistent evidence. This isn't about your opinion. You didn't have any opinions about football because you didn't even know about football. But there was scientific evidence, and yet you still had people calling you names, and just because of what it means for the love of the sport for so many. I mean, there was a big threat there, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. But, you know, every morning when I wake up, I sing a song of praise, and I read my Bible, I pray and meditate. And in so many mornings, I wake up early, the Spirit would minister unto me, just like Christ said to the apostles, be still and know that I am the Lord thy God. Do not be afraid. Okay, because I realized this wasn't about me.
That, I mean, you had a nice life before this happened. I mean, to put yourself in that position, you suddenly were the target. We have to take a hard break here talking to Dr. Bennett Omalu. So we're going to talk about just how people responded to him. Then how did things change once the movie came out and now the book is out? Have you been vindicated? And just more what you've learned about CTE. And Dr. Omalu often gets the question, would you ever let your own kids play football? You'll have to hear what he has to say on the other side. We've got three copies of Truth Doesn't Have a Side. Just fascinating conversation. Just felt very necessary to bring to the forefront. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget the mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. Love that song. It's a great prayer. Really glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Of the Promise. I'm talking to Dr. Bennett Omalu today. His book is titled Truth Doesn't Have a Side, My Alarming Discovery About the Danger of Contact Sports. And there's a real reason we're talking about this today. There's so many reasons, actually. If you've seen the film Concussion with Will Smith, this is the man. Will Smith played Dr. Bennett Omalu. But, you know, if you read his story, he had to stand. He made a discovery. He held it with honor. I mean, he was ostracized because people didn't like the discovery that he'd made. But then truth won out. And I'm sure people still ostracize you, Dr. Bennett. But you think about analyzing the brains of so many NFL players who, after they retired, had similar and chronic horrific symptoms. Something was happening in the brain because our brains weren't made to take that many blows. And I just have to say, a listener wrote in and she said, I've seen concussion. She said, I've had a traumatic brain injury 9 years ago. I'm married with two kids, and she said, CTE is the second most life-changing event after salvation. Here's my question for the doctor. Can the brain actually rewire itself through rehab or therapy, or heal through hyperbaric oxygen chamber? What do you say, Dr. Omalu?
Well, the truth, which it's inconvenient, is that the brain does not have any reasonable capacity to regenerate itself. Once the injury has occurred, it has occurred. So what happens is all these other treatments, rehabilitation, they help to jumpstart the surviving parts of your brain to help them function more efficiently to compensate to a certain degree for the damage. So people need to know the fundamental truth. Once injury has occurred in your brain, that injury is permanent.
Mm. And the brain's capacity to compensate is kind of amazing, though.
Yes, like if you suffer a stroke, although you've lost maybe power in half of your body, but there are mechanisms and modalities to make the surviving part of your brain to function at a higher level. But we can never replace the damaged part of your brain.
And so to put ourselves in a position to be taking those blows, you know, I watched a story on YouTube of a high school student who died from this, and he knew something was wrong, and he was known for his hard hits, and he put his head in it all the time, and he knew something was wrong because of things he was suffering with privately, so he wrote it all down so people would know before he died. But he dealt with anxiety and depression and headaches and even self-hatred. And Dr. Malu, I thought that was interesting. The self-hatred, would you say that was a byproduct of what he was dealing with, or does something happen in the brain?
That young man's brain.
Say again? And
yes, I did. What I may have to say, again, the truth is inconvenient. But it's from letter of Paul to the Ephesians chapter 4. As Christians, St. Paul tells us that we must gladly give up the old self in the renewal of our minds and embrace the new self in the holiness and righteousness of the truth. Knowing what we know today, because God is truth, God is knowledge, God enlightens us through science. He's giving us the gift of intelligence and knowledge, and provides us knowledge through science. What science is teaching us today, or has taught us over the centuries, is that when you expose your head to repeated blows in whatever human activity, there is a 100% risk exposure to brain damage.
Wow.
Science has shown us that if a child plays football for just one season, that child could have permanent brain damage. Science has shown us that if a child plays just one game of football as an offensive linesman, he receives about 62 blows to his head in just one game, with or without a helmet, because a helmet does not make any difference. And some of those blows are equivalent to a car traveling at 30 miles an hour ramming into a brick wall. Remember, the human brain is 60 to 80% water. That is the gift God has given us, your brain. So the question we all have to ask ourselves, just like the parable of the master and his servants, God has given us a gift of life in our children. When a man and a woman conceive a child, God invites us in and gives us the gift of his life and the gift of his spirit. It is our duty as the sons and daughters of a mighty God that we are to preserve that gift, that spirit of God in our child. My middle name is Ifakando. It's African. Means life is the greatest gift of all. So would we, as the children of God, take that gift and intentionally expose the Spirit of God to brain damage? That brain damage would rob your child of his intelligence and his intellect, would deny him of that gift of God. So we are, without knowing it, undermining that gift God has given us. And the first letter of John, chapter 1, says that we should give up the darkness of the past and embrace the light of today. Knowing what we know today, there is no justifiable reason whatsoever that a child under the age of 18 should continue to play the high-impact, the high-contact sports, football, ice hockey, mixed martial arts, boxing, wrestling, rugby. These games expose your child to multiple blows to the head. And multiple blows to the human head cause brain damage. Science has established that over the centuries. And when your child suffers this brain damage, your child, over time, as he gets older, would begin to manifest symptoms, changes in behavior, major depression, major psychiatric illnesses. Your child will become less intelligent, will begin to engage in violent behavior, will develop problems with controlling his temper. It's more likely to engage in criminal behavior, to abuse drugs, to abuse alcohol. Your child will be less likely to attain high levels of education. We have always known this. This is not something new. We have always known through the centuries that when you suffer brain injury, you can manifest these symptoms. So why would football be different? Like it said in the movie Concussion, we are beginning to place football above God. We're beginning on Sundays now when I go to church, on some Sundays whenever there's a football game. If the pastor stays longer than 1 minute past 11, people start walking out on him because they want to get home to watch football. Is there a form of idolatry? And this is what I've discussed in my book, and that is why my book is called Truth Doesn't Have a Side. The truth is truth. There is only one truth. We shouldn't deny the truth because of its inconvenience. It's like denying our faith because it is difficult to be a Christian. It is difficult to give. It is difficult to love sacrificially like Jesus did. But we don't deny our faith. The love of God because of its difficulty.
Yeah. So are you, I mean, you said earlier it doesn't matter if you have a helmet on.
It doesn't matter. And parents need to know that. What a helmet does for your child is it prevents your child from suffering a catastrophic injury and dying on the field. A helmet will prevent your child from suffering a fracture of his skull, from suffering lacerations and contusions of his face, from suffering from subdural hemorrhage. But a helmet increases the weight of your child's head and makes your child more likely to hit with his head because he doesn't feel any pain. So because your child is now hitting more with his head, the helmet makes his head weigh more and increases the size of his head. Larger amounts of energy are reaching your child's brain. And nothing holds the brain down in the skull because the brain floats freely like a balloon inside the skull. So each and every blow on the helmet makes the brain bounce around inside your child's skull. So a helmet does not help. And the helmet industry will tell you that a helmet is not meant to prevent concussions. If helmets prevented concussions, how come NFL players are still suffering concussions in spite of the best helmets they wear? So parents need to know that. Don't spend $1,000 buying a helmet for your son. It doesn't make any real difference. All it does is it will prevent your child from suffering a catastrophic injury and dying on the field. This is a very difficult truth, but truth doesn't have a side. But come what may, the truth will always prevail. It may take a long time to come, but in the fullness of time, God would manifest himself. It wasn't a coincidence that me, a nobody, a foreigner who knew nothing about football. It wasn't a coincidence that Mike Webster came to me in death. I don't think it's a coincidence. Even my boss, who is a Jewish man, is not a Christian. They said to me, Bennett, how come you were the only person on duty that day? Because you're the only doctor in the office who knows about the brain. I was the only neuropathologist in the office. So he said if it was another doctor, that he wouldn't have examined Mike Webster's brain. So my boss, everyone who is not even a Christian, said to me, there's something else. I don't know what it is, but this is not a coincidence, Bennett.
My goodness. Wow. We have to pause here. I love your laugh, by the way, Dr. Omalu. And Will Smith said that in the foreword, that wait till you hear this man's laugh. It's...
I'm sorry.
It's good. Wow. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about just what that was like for you and your faith to be so opposed and how things possibly have changed since the movie came out. And maybe, friends listening in, you don't know this, but Brett Favre has admitted to memory loss, and I think he was diagnosed with CTE. He even said in an interview, if he had a son, he doesn't think he'd let him play the game, knowing what he knows now. Jim McMahon of Chicago Bears has CTE. He's dealing with dementia. When Frank Gifford died, that's Kathy Lee's husband, they donated his brain to research for CTE, and they saw the effects of it on his brain all those years later. I wonder why some, though, don't show the symptoms that others do. I'd love to know that answer on the other side as well. If you've got a question or you want a copy of the book, email for the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. I'll be back in a minute. As I mentioned, we may step on a few toes on this particular hour, but it felt like an important conversation to have. I've got Dr. Bennett Omalu on the show today. If you saw the film Concussion, Will Smith played Dr. Bennett's role, and it was gripping. I saw it once, and I had to turn around and just watch it a second time. Title of his book, Truth Doesn't Have a Side, My Alarming Discovery About the Danger of Contact Sports. And Dr. Bennett, you said, you know, coming into this, you came from Nigeria to the States. You're a pathologist. You had no knowledge of football. You happened to do a autopsy, on Mike Webster, a famous NFL player that had seemed like he'd gone astray, lost his way after football, and come to find many, many players after their time in the NFL had brain injury, traumatic brain injury, and some took their life. I mean, there's numbers of players for whom this has happened, where they've committed suicide, they've resulted in self-harm, And you say truth doesn't have a side. The truth is a truth, we like it or not. In fact, you asked this thought-provoking question in your book. How can Americans idolize football players, yet seem to care so little about the toll the game takes on their heroes? And my producer and I were talking about this during the break. This is why this flies in the face of everything and why you just endured so much opposition. People don't want to hear this, do they?
Yes, people don't. But you know, all my life, I have struggled with personal problems. You know, I was born during a civil war. I suffered psychological trauma. You know, I suffered depression, low self-esteem. And, you know, in your journey of faith, the stronger your faith becomes, the stronger the doubts become. That is why faith is evidence of things you do not see, you understand. Okay, so we in America, the country that I love so much, I think there's this trend whereby as a society we are beginning to develop our own convenient alternative truths.
Wow.
Which is very dangerous for a society.
I need people to hear what you just said. We are developing our own convenient alternative truths.
Yes.
Wow.
And the danger that is not of God. Because when you develop an alternative truth, you're living a lie. And when the truth prevails, you will not be on the side of truth. If you recognize and accept only an alternative truth, you can never develop the real solution. The only solution you can develop will be an alternative solution that is not of God, because God is truth. And that was why God said that if you commit one sin, that you've committed sin. Sin is sin. These are very painful topics, discussions. But we should not deny the truth because of its inconvenience, no matter how difficult it may be.
So
that is my message.
Yeah. And
I've never made this about me. And if you notice, I don't attack anybody. Because if you walk the Calvary of Christ, you need to be as humble as Christ. I come with every humility. I do not come to offend anybody. But just like Jesus Christ did with the Pharisees and the rulers of his time, he spoke the truth at their faces. They did not like him. They did not like the truth. But that did not discourage him. He stood by the truth. We have no choice as Christians. For people who are not Christians, I truly don't bother. But as Christians, we are one body, the body of Christ.
Dr. O'Malley.
So as Christians, like I said in my book, each and every Christian should take some time. This is difficult. And think about it.
I would
there
love
are other sports. Yes, they are safe. They are safe, healthy sports for your children. The non-contact sports. Now, when your child becomes an adult, reaches the age of 18, then he can decide if he wants to play or not play. I do not support banning football. No, you don't do that. Adults should have the freedom, liberty, and free will, like God has given us, to do whatever they want, as long as it does not pose a threat or danger to the life of someone else. And we've done this in every aspect of our lives. Whenever we identify a potentially dangerous factor, the first thing we do, we protect our children. We wouldn't let a child smoke a stick of cigarette. But we would place a helmet on the head of that child, send him out to a field to suffer brain damage. Which is more dangerous? A stick of cigarette or brain damage from a concussion? A concussion is a type of brain damage. People need to know that. If your child suffers a concussion, your child's brain is already damaged. And I say because I'm a pathologist. I've looked at over 12,000 brains. When you look at a brain with a concussion on the microscope, it's a very serious type of injury. You have bleeding in your brain. So in the fullness of time, God calls us, lifts us up, and draws us closer to him. And what he is telling us today through science is that some of the things we did in the past, we need to give up. Now, let me share something with you, because I told you I practice my science in my faith and my faith in my science. Science and faith are one. Science tells us that as a species, we evolve. We change. It's part of who we are. And as we change, we become more intelligent. And as we become more intelligent, we give up the less intelligent ways of the past. Mankind of 1917, obviously, is less intelligent than mankind of 2017. Today, we have greater access to information. We do a lot, much more than they did in 1917. In fact, what would take me 2-3 hours to do today in 1917 may have taken them 2 years to do. And that is exactly the same thing faith tells us, that we must renew our minds, become born again, and walk towards the truth, in the holiness of the truth. If one arm will lead you to sin, cut it out. So do we expose children to suffer brain damage so when they become adults, they commit suicide? They engage in violent behavior. They harm other people. They engage in domestic violence. They abuse drugs. Is that of God? Are we placing something we love above God? These are the difficult questions each and every Christian must ask ourselves, especially when it comes to our children. The greatest gift of my life today is my child, my daughter, my son. I would do anything for those two kids. So as their father, I would not intentionally expose them to the risk of brain damage. In my humble opinion, people may disagree with me. I respect that. It is not of God.
Tell me this. We've just got about a minute and a half here before we wrap up and pray. How have other football players responded to you, those behind the scenes who are not playing anymore, who maybe are dealing with some of these effects? What have they said to you off the record?
Retired players think I'm a hero. They think I'm they lift me up to a place I don't belong. You know the great Harry Carson? Harry, if you're listening, forgive me. A man I respect deeply. He said to me, Bennett, why I'm so thankful to you was before you did the Mike Webster autopsy and reported your findings, I was having problems. I went to one doctor after the other. Nobody understood me. At some point, they were accusing me of faking or feigning my symptoms because I was not handling the obscurity of retirement well.
Wow.
Now, what you have done for us is you have given this a name. That now, when he complains, people will take him seriously, that yes, we believe you're having problems. And this is the recurrent theme. The retired players lift me up to a place I don't belong. But I tell them, no, don't make it about me. It's not about me. Make it about the mighty love of God that binds us together as one people of God.
Dr. Omalu, I can't thank you enough for the time today. And as we wrap, I'm wondering if you would pray for us that we could put Jesus first above all things and embrace what he's asking of us today. Would you pray?
I should pray?
Yes, do you mind?
All right, thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai, Jehovah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the gift of you. We thank you for manifesting yourself daily in our lives. Give us that sense of purpose, that understanding, that wisdom to continue drawing closer to you to do thy will. For come what may thy will be done in our lives. We praise you. We worship you. We adore you. We lift you up on high, for you are a mighty God. We glorify your name, God. Thank you. Bless each and every one of us who is listening, Lord. Manifest yourself in all of us. Draw us closer, God, and give us the wisdom to be worthy sons and daughters of you.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.